We are grateful for the joy of fellowship, the blessing of sharing, the challenge of preparing. A puzzling equation. Brethren, there's nothing mysterious about it, I guarantee. We're talking about God's methods. They are puzzling by human appraisal and perception. And we're going to focus on one of these puzzles. It is coincidentally appropriate that we meet in this facility, which is an institution of learning. Throughout eternity, God's consecrated children shall be required to be diligent students of our Heavenly Father, not only of His designs, but the whole universe. But we suggest to you, especially diligent mathematicians. So you see the justification for our title. But be careful though. My introduction could be a decoy, since in our discussion there will be very little math. We divide our subject into six parts. One, our frailties or weaknesses. Two, fatherly discipline. Three, training with. And four, the IC factor. Now, there is another puzzle. But when you hear about it, it won't be so puzzling. The IC, the letters IC factor. Four, solving the equation. See, we finally get to it. Five, the tie that binds. And six, conclusion. One, our frailties, that is our weaknesses. We often marvel at the nobility of thought that can be reflected through the depraved human mind. For example, consider the following saying: the soul would have no rainbow had the eyes no tears. Analyzing it through human discernment, it is true and comforting. From our spiritual point of view, it is meaningful and powerful. We share an illustration with you, actually a recent experience. One evening, Sylvia and I were in the supermarket doing grocery shopping, and parading through the aisles as we do, we met a family of five. A young couple, two young boys, and a child of about two being wheeled in the food carriage. She was crying. Instinctively, I had to intervene. For those of you that don't know, I am a grandfather. Four grandchildren. Anyway, rising to the occasion with all the grandfatherly wisdom that I could muster, I said to her, the crying little girl, "Oh, my, why are you crying? Why, big girls like you don't cry. You know the risk often associated with trying to calm down a little child. They could burst out and really embarrass you, making you want to hide somewhere." But anyway, she stopped crying. As we walked away from her, there was only one question in my mind: how soon will she start crying again? But you know, she didn't. I was so pleasantly surprised that within me I was almost gloating and thinking, how do you like that? I wiped someone's tears. I think I earned the gratitude of two distressed parents and pacified a little troubled heart. But brethren, is it not true that crying serves a purpose in the developmental process? Is it not part of growing pains? Granted, there are different reasons for crying, but often it is identified as essential to the development of the biochemical as well as the physiological process. We may say it promotes strength through seeming weakness. Psalms 34, 15 and 17. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The import, the essence of these two verses we just quoted are magnified by medical science with the following experiment that we bring to your attention. Four young mothers, four infants, all in the same room, only that the mother's backs are turned to the infants. The mothers cannot see them. During the experiment, each mother was able to correctly identify her child by his or her crying. Remarkable, well, maybe not, but the infants were 24 hours old. Within the same day, the mother could identify that child's cry. Part two, fatherly discipline. Brethren, who would be more pleased than our Heavenly Father and His dear Son to lovingly, tenderly wipe our tears? Certainly willing and able to provide for all our needs, but they are compelled to use wisdom in such treatment. We are certain that they are quick to discern our pain and identify our cries, but they also know that we need discipline and disappointments to enhance our spiritual stature. Writes one author, I'm sure some of you will recognize this, God's hand that saves, though kind, seems rough, and his methods sometimes rude, but it is frail, shrinking nature that cries enough, yet proves the Lord is good. The temple stones that God now prepares often cry, you hurt me sore. But the gentle, kind sculptor seeks their perfectness and trims them more and more, until by dint of strokes and blows, the shapeless mass appears symmetric, polished, beautiful, to withstand the eternal years. And it's out of the crushed, mangled grapes that comes forth the sparkling wine. If God my portion is, be such experience mine, and kept while the furnace is heated white, shall purge the dross away. And thy judgments, O Lord, are true and right and brighter every day. And I'm sure some of you recognize that as hymn number 67. There is an expression in one of our Italian hymns that asks, Ah, fratello, hai tu provato la dolcezza del Signore? Meaning, oh, my brother, have you tasted of the Lord's goodness? Oh, my brethren, that we could measure the depth of God's love, fathom His awesome power, appreciate the fairness of His justice, and acknowledge the beauty of His wisdom. Do children always appreciate the counseling, the wisdom of their parents? No doubt you have heard this classic example. The young man was overheard admitting, when I was 14, my father was so unreasonable, so ignorant. But by the time I was 21, the old man had learned a lot. How meaningful and profound the realization that the Creator of our universe asks you and I, come, let us reason together. Brethren, shouldn't that be humbling? And we reply, what about? Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall become as white as snow. Applying this to spiritual Israel, this cleansing, purifying process, it is possible through the merit of the blood of Jesus, by the covering afforded by His robe of righteousness, which we must keep clean, spotless, by enduring discipline, implied in the unmerited invitation of the high calling in Christ Jesus. We preface an illustration with a demonstration. The demonstration occurred on national television. It took place while a man was performing a feat of strength. A portion of sugar, refined sugar, was administered to him, was put under his tongue. And you know, as soon as that sugar began to be absorbed in his body chemistry, which is very, almost instantly, you know, the man's strength began to diminish. The point of the experiment was to prove how processed sugar adversely affects the human body function. If we may, we make this observation, and we compare and suggest that sugar is symbolic of fleshly gratification, which is damaging to our spiritual well-being. Now, there was a demonstration as a preface to an illustration. Our illustration is still dealing with fatherly discipline, that a young man reached the age of 16. Because his parents were well off, He expected a new car as a birthday present. Instead, his father gave him a Bible. Well, the young man was so disgruntled, he was so angry that he got a Bible instead. He took that Bible and he flung it. Just threw it away. Sometime later, the father passed away. Father died. And after the funeral, the Bible that had been discarded reappeared. The young man got a hold of it, and with regret, he began to examine it, thumbing it, thumbing through its pages. To his shock and surprise, he discovered a check payable to him for the amount of a new car. Says the psalmist, the Lord will not withhold any good thing from his children. Third part, the IC factor, the letters IC. We're delighted that this aspect is a sequel to the spirit and conclusion of our brother Stein's talk. The process to call, select a new creation has to be the most challenging in history. The formula to develop such an elite special group has to be the most complex ever conceived. The task is beyond human comprehension. When we consider the variety of people dealt with and monitored over a period of 2,000 years, just imagine the blending of temperaments from the very beginning with the apostles. Assigning curriculum to fit each individual need and background, permitting the type of experiences which would mellow and make meat for the master's use. How would you like the headache of directing such a colossal project? There are so many traits which are essential to be part of the little flock, but brethren, there is one point that we'd like to stress at this moment. One primary requisite, and that is brought to our attention by the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. You all know that by heart. That's a staple as a scripture, as we might call it, where it says that God hath chosen the foolish things of this world, the weak things, to confound the wise. Perhaps the type of people that our Heavenly Father is looking for could be compared to an advertisement seeking potential employees, stipulating, no experience necessary, we will train you. Bring nothing, we'll supply all your needs according to God's riches. You need not know anything. We will teach you. Forget the traditions of men. Be nothing. How inspiring that 229 that we sang. But says our Heavenly Father, and agrees our Lord and Master Jesus, you must possess an honest heart and a humble disposition. And they add, we don't care how much money you have in the bank, as long as you are rich in faith. Within the scope of our objective, then, we introduce to you the IC factor. But you might say, brother, you already gave us a puzzle. You already have an equation before us. I reply, be patient. We'll solve them both. Let us take a look in the mirror, as it were, and conduct a quick self-examination. On a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate yourself on patience? A 6? You say a 6? Not enough. Supposing we were to pretend and suggest that we had infinite patience. Not enough. But brother, you might say, infinite, good heavens, that's endless, endless patience. Not enough. Supposing we were to say we had compassion, and still we would say, not enough. Compassion, not enough. Brethren, we are reaching for God-likeness. We want to be like the Heavenly Father and our dear Lord. The IC factor stands for infinite compassion. That's what we need if we're going to be like the Heavenly Father. I'll share a quick story with you, intended as humorous, but there may be a lesson in it for us. The compassionate doctor, the patient says, looking in the mirror, the poor patient says, doc, he says, you know, I'm a mess. I look in the mirror, I see a double chin, I see my hair falling off, he says, and I see blotches all over my face. He says, I feel ugly. He says, what am I going to do? The doctor gets him with all his compassion. My good man, he says, I don't know, he says, but you do have perfect eyesight. As you know, brethren, a factor is a multiplier. That's the extent of our mathematics, really. Just to talk a little bit about this multiplier. You recall the most profound illustration in the 18th chapter of Matthew, where Peter came to the Lord Jesus saying, Master, he says, how many times am I going to forgive my brother? And Peter said, 7 times? How many? Jesus, how about 70 times 7? 70 factor, okay? But was Jesus really telling Peter, go and get your calculator and let's figure this thing out? What the Lord Jesus was saying, he was alluding, brethren, to this factor of infinite compassion. He was telling him, Peter, forgive thy brother. Forgive thy brother. Just keep on forgiving. And then there is the aspect which I'm so delighted when I hear the speakers that I've been listening to that they mention something, you know, that you agree with and you know, it's in your heart and you're going to talk about it also. That is the sin offering. You know, brethren, the sin offering is the application of the benefits of the ransom in behalf of humanity. And you and I have the privilege to assist in dispensing these blessings, in rehabilitating humanity back on the way of holiness. And one illustration also that is helpful about the sin offering is that a person is released from jail, released because of the ransom. But then the rehabilitation process is where the church comes in. hopefully we'll have that privilege of assisting humanity back to life. Point number four, our equation revealed. Finally, what is this great mystery? The IC factor to reach this prestigious status, enjoy such an unique privilege, we qualify if we possess the character molded by divine design, founded on judicious behavior and perfection of strength. This is where we finally solve our puzzle. Brethren, next to our Lord Jesus, the Apostle Paul achieved the greatest stature. He enjoyed the most unique privilege and had his character molded by divine design. Let's read from 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10. Brother Burton and I had a discussion on this a little while ago, and I agree with his translation. There the Apostle Paul says, 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10, and then also just those two verses. We'll read the 10th verse first. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, in order that the power of Christ may overshadow me. Hence, I take delight in infirmities, in insults, in distresses, in persecutions, in difficulties, for the sake of Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Adds Jehovah, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Thus our secret revealed, our equation no longer a puzzle, God's methods deciphered. That is, Brother Burton, his power, God's strength is perfect, no question. But his power, the translation of that verse is, that his power is manifest through our weaknesses. It reminds me of the compassionate doctor a little bit. The Lord is saying to us, you know, these things are not pleasant that you see, but it is through these experiences that you gain perception, spiritual perception. We have alluded to a divine principle so simple and meaningful, yet so elusive to the fleshly mind, that is, that God makes something out of nothing. The classic example of Saul of Tarsus. I cannot use you as Saul, meaning important, but I will exalt you to glorious heights as Paul, meaning little. Saul equates to earthly pride and ambition. Paul equates to spiritual progress and service. Saul of Tarsus could not experience the beauty of the rainbow until his spiritual eyes were touched, that is, blessed and opened by the Lord, and subsequently, and only then, did the golden pot of opportunities unfold before him. You know, that Romans chapter 5 is a very heart-searching chapter. You recall how verses 3 to 5, they describe how we need tribulation, we need experience and hope, and they develop faith in us, and so forth. And brother, there are times when tribulation does come upon us. Let me give you a quick illustration. See if this sounds familiar. Recently we had two meetings in our ecclesia. I'll give you a series of two meetings. The first one, there were about 40 present. And the meeting was so harmonious that you thought the Lord was present right in the room. A week later, we had another meeting. Same people, but the roof fell in. The flesh emerged. What kind of meeting do you think it was? A business meeting. You see, brethren, what happens when the flesh emerges, when we let it overtake us. We often wonder at which secular scenario could compare to the church's earthly experiences. Now we're dealing with the fifth part of our topic, the tie that binds. The story of Cinderella comes to mind. What an interesting account, isn't it? Rags to riches. What a remarkable concept. We're not going to go into that compared to Cinderella. But the thing is, brethren, that in any case, trials and tribulations must precede kingdom glory. We find the following most revealing and suggest that it could be applied not only to our enemies, but to our brethren. Listen to the saying. If we could read the secret history of our enemies, we should find in each person's life sorrow and suffering enough to disarm all hostility. If we did that, we would rise above our differences. Applying this principle to our brethren, we mention perhaps the most touching testimony that we ever heard at a testimony meeting. It occurred at Chattanooga last year. You remember how our sister Ivy Binns, she shared with us the agony that she and Brother Fred endured with her daughter. Brethren, I tell you, we, all of us, it seems to me, could have just burst out crying when that Sister Ivy got through with that testimony. But she and Brother Fred have become so precious to us, seeing what they've, some of the things that they've been through. We share our mutual woes, our mutual burdens bear, and often for each other flows a sympathizing tear. There's different fantasies that come to my mind, you know, about the Lord's people, how we could rejoice together. But one of them is how we could suffer together. And I don't think we have to do something like Jones did at Jonestown. God forbid, that was bizarre. But just the idea of sharing in our suffering, to me, is I really cherish that. Seeing our chairman is approaching, we go to our conclusion. The following words are attributed to a 15-year-old girl. See if you recognize her. I don't think of all the misery, but of the beauty that still remains. It is touching to read the misery, the despair, and the suffering that she and her family endured during World War II. What was her name? Anne Frank. That's right. You knew it. But we sift from that saying, brethren, and make a powerful comparison. Three P's: perspective, process, perfection. We see our elder brother, our captain, made perfect through suffering. What does that say? Where is that scripture found? You know, I had to guess three times before I got it. That's Hebrews 2:10. And brethren, recalling his agony, the approaching agony, remember what he said, if be possible, let this cup pass from me. And I think it would be unanimous in here to say and agree that our Heavenly Father suffered as much as he, if not more, in that moment of agony. And may we join them, the Father, the Son, and all of God's children, in echoing the sentiment. We don't think of all the misery, but of the beauty that still remains, and the joys of eternity that await us. Oh, brethren, that we could sing together. Beyond the veil, that 367. May we be faithful.